The baptism of Jesus really ends the Christmas season for us, and I think it's important that we recognize that the Christmas season, a very important part of the Christmas season, is the baptism of Jesus. We obviously focus heavily on the birth of Christ during the Christmas season, and it is significant because the birth of Christ is what we celebrate in God becoming man and dwelling among us. He unites himself with our human nature. So he takes a humanity. And so we have the God-man in Jesus. So that illustrates a real closeness that we have with God. But to miss the baptism and the significance of the baptism of Christ is really to miss the whole picture of redemption and the economy of salvation. What happened at the baptism of Jesus? Well, first of all, John is confused. He says, you should be baptizing me. Now, those baptisms were being carried out as a way of conversion of life, a certain type of cleansing of sin. So being taken down into the water, you were being buried. The sin was being buried, and you were coming back up, right? And new life, a different orientation in the way that you lived. And so John is certainly confused, and Jesus says, do this for now. This is part of the plan, basically. And so John baptizes him. Well, what's the significance of Jesus being baptized? If at the birth of Christ we celebrate Christ uniting himself with our humanity, at the baptism of Christ, Christ is uniting himself with our sin. At the baptism, Christ takes on our sin. You might even say he becomes sin. In the book of Hebrews, we hear about we have a high priest in Christ who became like us in all things but sin. He didn't sin himself, but he took upon sin. And so he united himself with us in our fallenness, in our darkness. So where we are made holy by the waters, he made the waters holy. Where we leave our sin, he takes on our sin. So how important is this for us to really grasp this and take it? Okay, I'm kind of giving you the theology, but taking it to personal application and how this can be appropriated in our own spiritual life. Well, think about marriage. In the old law of the church, under the 1917 Code of Canon Law, defined marriage as a contract between a man and woman where they exchanged rights and duties. All right? And so I had the obligation to fulfill certain duties. I also had the rights to receive certain things. Well, the newer law of the church changed the language of the definition of marriage. Not that it's not still there's rights and duties involved in marriage, there are. But it's more than a contract, that it's a covenant. So in the 1983 Code of Canon Law, which is the official kind of law book of the church, it immediately states marriage is the covenant where blank, blank, blank. So it's defined as a covenant. And a covenant is much more than a contract. A covenant is, in Latin, a totius consortium vitae, a complete sharing of lives, the whole of one's life. And so when a couple comes to marry, what do they say to one another? In good times and in bad, a sharing of the whole of one's life, sickness and in health, right? So the good and the bad, everything is caught up into this relationship now. And so did you hear what Isaiah the prophet said? What is he going to make this servant who is going to save us? A covenant for the people. He will be a covenant for the people. So that means that he is going to share the entirety of our lives. Not just the good things, but our fallenness. And he's going to take those things upon us. And so in our spiritual life, we have to be willing to hand over and share our darkness with the Lord, our sin. It's not faith and religion and Catholicism is not being the good boy or girl and getting a pat on the, you know, on the head. It's the sharing, offering, and receiving of God's own life and Him taking upon our own life. How does that play out? Well, St. Faustina had a great experience where she came to realize this truth at an existential level, at a very personal level. She says this. She was offering herself to God, right? And she was kind of feeling a disconnect with God at the time. And she says, through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, I have given myself entirely to you. I have then nothing more than I can offer you. Jesus said to me, my daughter, you have not offered to me that which is really yours. I probed deeply into myself and found that I love God with all the faculties of my soul, and, unable to see what it was that I had not yet given to the Lord, I asked, Jesus, tell me, what is it? I will give it to you at once with a generous heart. Jesus said to me with kindness, daughter, give me your misery, because it is your exclusive property. At that moment, a ray of light illumined my soul, and I saw the whole abyss of my misery. When we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, we're celebrating that Christ takes on and shares everything about us, the good and the bad. And so do we hide our darkness and reserve it to ourselves? Well, I think that's pretty much impossible. We're going to go in three directions. Because we all have darkness and misery in us because of our fallen human nature, because of our own personal sin, and because we've been sinned against. And it's in different levels. The older we get, the more that we realize it, and the more that we know it. So it can go either three ways. It can, because it's a powerful force. God had to send His Son to redeem us. It can bring us down to depression and despair, which it does, which it did with Judas, ultimately. Or it can turn into denying it, and then we project it onto other people. Our wrath, you know, is directed at someone else. Usually, it's someone close in our inner circle, family member, person at work. You know what I'm talking about if you've experienced it. Or we can do what we're invited to do, particularly on this baptism of Jesus. We can do like St. Faustina. We can hand over our misery. It's hard to describe that dark place, that ugliness within us, but misery is a great word for it. And so what if at communion, you know, at the offertory time, as we bring up our things we're proud of that represent what we're proud of, our gifts, you know, of bread and wine that represents who we are, what we've done, we would also offer on the altar our misery. And then we would be living the truth of our Christian faith. Then we would be being immersed with Christ into His baptism and receiving the saving effects of which He came to be born in this world.